You are listening to WSCA 106.1 FM. This is Black Knight Meditations, underground heavy metal music, black death, speed thrash, gothic doom, shred power, prog folk, and traditional metal. Every Friday night, 9 p.m. until 1 a.m., my email address is bnmradio@live.com, at BNM Metal Radio on Twitter, and blackknightmeditations.com for broadcasts and interviews. And time for another interview here on Black Knight Meditations. And any regular listener of Black Knight Meditations knows that I've been a huge fan of Metal Church since the 80s. I love the Ronnie Monroe albums. Of course, I love the first two with David Wayne, but my favorite era has always been with Mike Howe on vocals. I'm one of those fans that, you know, I've been screaming for years, where the hell is Mike Howe? Come back to church, Mike. Well, it's, you know, it took about 20 or so years, but our prayers have been answered because Mike is back in church where he belongs. And I have him on the line now, calling in, I believe, from the West Coast. Mike, you calling in from sunny California right now?
I sure am, Mark. How you doing?
I am, man. I'm doing so much better now that you are back in church where you belong. What's life like out in California right now for you?
Oh, life is really good for me, but it's even getting better now that I'm back singing in Metal Church, and we're going to hit the road really soon here and be in your neck of the woods within a week.
Absolutely. Next week, you have three New England dates next week. I am absolutely there for the Portland, Maine date. Really psyched, looking forward to it. The new Metal Church album is out on March 25th. That's next week. Now, Mike, before we talk about the new album and before we delve into the mystery of Mike Howe, let's talk about Metal Church Live, all right? You've got these New England dates coming up and more U.S. dates into April. You've got European shows and festivals this summer. And since it's been a while since you've toured with the church, what can fans expect from your shows? I mean, you're going to have any staging brought along with you? Are there going to be any surprises? You got anything scripted, or is it just going to be you go out and you just go for the throw? What can we expect from Metal Church Live?
Well, I think you can expect what fans have always gotten from Metal Church, an honest, heavy metal show that's just straight from the heart and, as loud as possible.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's exactly what we want to hear. Absolutely. Let's talk about set lists, all right? How many songs do you guys have rehearsed to choose from?
I think we're up about 12 or 13 songs at this point.
And are you going to be adding to that over the course of the year?
Well, we're going to experiment with that, of course, yeah. But so we're, you know, this is new to us, and we're starting out with a set list that I created through, you know, suggestions from the fans and
awesome.
Suggestions from the bandmates and just my own memories of the songs that I really enjoyed playing live in the past. And I think we've made a really impressive list of songs that I think the fans are going to enjoy.
Oh, that's cool that you, you had your hands in the songs. You picked the ones that you wanted to sing. That's killer. That's killer. Now, I there are some questions I want to get to tonight that I think a lot of fans have been would like to know, given that you're back in the band now. It would make sense. You're obviously going to hear songs from the three albums that you were on, and of course some songs from the first couple of records that established the band. Are there going to be any songs or albums that the band is going to be avoiding, you know, going forward, like the Ronnie Monroe era? I mean, is that open in the future, or some of the stuff in between? Basically, what is off the table? What can we not expect to hear from you during this tour this upcoming year?
Yeah, unfortunately, the Ronnie era is not on the table. We're not. We have so much material, and you said three albums, but it'll be four, including the new material.
Right,
so
fourth next week.
Yeah. Four albums of Mike Howe era stuff, and then, you know, we're going to pay homage to the original Metal Church vocalist David Wayne, of course, who started the whole thing out, and I'd been singing Dave Wayne songs from the very beginning of being in the band, and there are some classic songs that I really enjoy singing of Dave's time. So between those six albums, you know, I think we had a really exciting time having a difficult problem. Which ones to choose from, and it's a problem that we're happy to have.
Exactly. You've got so much to choose from, and even though the album is not out yet, but it's out next week, you start the tour next week, how many songs from the new record can we expect to hear on this American jaunt this time around?
Well, we've right now at this point, we've slated three songs for the set.
All right, and what are we going to hear? Don't give too much away, but what new songs? How about this? What new songs are we going to hear?
Well, you're definitely going to hear the video song "No Tomorrow." So, I think that's all I'm going to say because I want a little surprise.
All right. Yeah. No, that's true. Okay. So it's if the fans are there at the shows like myself and we're yelling out songs like "The Powers That Be" or "Flee from Reality," you're not. I'm guessing you're not going to launch into it if the fans are screaming for it, or maybe you could, right?
If they scream out the right one in the
maybe we'll just have to take a peek over the monitors at the set list so we can yell out the right songs you're about to do.
Yeah, well, it's funny. We're not a request band, but, bands, at least for us, we pick the order of the song and put them in order the way we think that the set would flow the best. And we think that's what we take into mind when we do that. So we rehearse it that way and get a nice flowing set.
Awesome. So let's talk about the new record coming out next week. When you were coming up with your vocal parts and, even when you were recording, your vocals, did you ever think about what you had done in the past when you were doing this? I mean, did you try to make it so where, okay, this is what Metal Church is known for, this is what I'd done in the past, what the fans know me for. So did you try to keep it like that, even if, it's all these years later, you're not exactly the same as before, although God knows your voice sounds amazingly like it, just like it did back in the day. I mean, do you keep in mind what the band has done in the past, or is it just it's us here and now and the past doesn't matter?
We were totally living in the moment, and that was purposeful, Kurt and I got together, and he had presented, when I first talked about coming back to the band, we talked in depth about the reasons getting back together and the way we would go about it and how things have changed. And so once we wanted to take baby steps and take our time and make sure the record was done correctly in the way that we wanted to do it and with no pressure and no timelines. So after we set those ground rules, Kurt went back in his studio and, knowing that I would be singing, he was inspired to write riffs and put together songs that would be more of the Mike Howe singing style. And so once he presented, a really good batch of songs to me, I was inspired as well, and we got together at his studio and sat down and, well, then sit down, put a microphone up in front of my face, and he sat behind the board, and I just started singing out melodies and lyrics were spitting out to, whatever inspired me, and it was a great time of getting back together to celebrate what we used to do, and we both were very inspired by that, so yeah, we couldn't be happier with the way it turned out,
Did you come up with all of your vocal lines, or did Kurt already have some written for you?
No, we wanted it to be very spontaneous. We didn't want to think about it too much. We just wanted it to come from the heart and the soul and the gut. And his inspiration to me was my inspiration to him coming up with the riffs for me, and I was inspired, so whatever came out was what we built on. We sat in a room and went, wow, that's cool, let's build on that, or we had digital capabilities which we'd never had in the past, where we could move riffs around that weren't per se going along with the melodies that I was coming up with. And so it was different this time around in the fact that we had modern technology is a tool for songwriting that we didn't have in the past, so it didn't take long to, say, take a part out here and put it over there or just cut it out completely without, messing with our creative flow.
There are a couple tracks that you've played live so far from the new record, and obviously once the album has been out and maybe you play more shows, maybe add a few more tunes from the new record into the live set at some point. Are there any cuts that stand out for you from a vocalist point of view that you feel like I want to be singing this particular song or these songs live every night? That they just feel that they translate well in a live setting, vocally speaking?
Yeah. I hear what you're saying, and I'm really the opening track, Reset. Which is not out yet, but I think when the fans hear the opening track Reset, it really resonates deeply with me, and I have three different octaves I'm singing on that song and get to sing in three different ranges within that song, so it's very exciting to sing live.
It is a great song. I've heard it. It is awesome. That's definitely one of the ones I want to hear live for sure. Reset.
Yeah, I love that song too.
A great song. Well, how about on the older albums? Are there songs that you feel that these songs are meant to be played live? You know, from a vocal standpoint, because you know maybe some songs are more of a stretch for you to sing live. They're just not necessarily geared toward a concert setting. But there are some you feel like I got to be singing these every night.
Yeah, well, there are definitely songs that work live and are very dramatic and very powerful. And you know, one that comes to mind is God's a Second Chance. That is a great song live, and it's a lot of fun to play. And of course, you know, the ones that are powerful, like Fake Healer and Badlands and things like that. Those are just great live songs.
Okay, how about this? I'm going to stir the pot a little bit. Are there any songs that after all these years you think, man, I don't know if I can do that one anymore?
Well, if I did, that's not in the set anymore.
No.
But no, actually, I'm very surprised, as I'm sure a lot of people are, that I still have my full vocal capabilities.
Yeah, it's
so
amazing.
I'm blessed. Yeah, I don't know whether it was because I didn't, I stayed away from screaming and hurting my vocals over those 20 years, or, you know, just the vocal training I had when I was younger and I carried through to today. You know, I was classically trained to have breath support and sing, you know, in a operatic style, classical style. So that really helps, preserve my voice.
Yeah, and when we were getting the snippets out there and, you know, the Badlands re-recording was released, and we're all of us fans were like, oh, my God, not only is Mike back, but it's he sounds the same. How is this possible? We were all just – we were so relieved, one, that you're back in the band, and then, two, you sound amazing. It's like maybe you're right. Maybe being away for so long is why you're able to still sing so damn well, but thankfully you are.
Yeah.
Super psyched.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you get the vibe that I'm psyched that you're back in the band?
Well, it's contagious.
Well, I got to know, how tough was it to keep it under wraps that you were working with Kurt again and that this, you know, the ball was rolling for you to become the vocalist for Metal Church again, and before you were ready to announce it? Was it difficult to keep it under wraps? Did it get out there before you wanted anybody to know?
Not really, because I didn't really know if that's, you know, what I was going to do and if that's what I wanted to do. You know, I approached coming back very cautiously and slowly. It wasn't like, okay, I'm back, let's do this. It was like, well, let's take it baby steps and see how it goes. And that's why it took, you know, like a year and a half to have the record put out, because it was like, let's test the waters, see how my vocals are, see how our writing is, see how it all comes together. And so there was no urgency at all, which is to say, I'm back and let's do this, which was to our advantage, you know, and no pressure, and just relax and enjoy the ride.
Awesome. So were you paying attention to the fan feedback once Badlands was released and there were snippets out there and the announcement was made? Were you paying attention to what the fans and the media were saying?
Well, I was kind of trying not to, because I didn't want to get caught up in it, but it was presented to me by the record company and Joe O'Brien there, saying, look, people are really excited by having you back, and it was just, it was overwhelming and unbelievable to me, and I was so thankful and grateful to all the warm wishes and the great things that people have been saying. I'm just a lucky man.
And we're lucky fans. Absolutely. So, okay, over the years, how much attention to the metal scene did you pay? I mean, any attention at all?
You know, not a lot. I'm a music lover. I love all kinds of music, and metal's one of them. But I search out different kinds of music, new kind of music, and anything that sounds good to me. And it's an art form, you know, and an art, the art that you love is something that you seek out. I seek out to find different kinds of this art. So that's what I've been doing over the years, is trying to branch out my expand my horizons, so to speak. But yeah, I'd listen to metal here and there, just like I'd listen to blues or, you know, American roots music and all sorts of different kinds of music. Pop music. I mean, I have two boys, and, you know, you get exposed to a lot of stuff when you're raising kids.
All right, so how about specifics? What specifically are you listening to these days? Not metal stuff, you know, not non-metal stuff.
Yeah, Well, I mean, I listen to, so many different things. It's hard for me to pinpoint one, but, you know, the last, it's been a while now, but Jack White's Blunderbuss record came out, and that blew me away on his diversity of his performing and playing. But I listen to Steve Earle. I listen to Gillian Welsh. I listen to, you know, Audioslave's first record was still something that I go back and listen to that I think was an amazing record. And, you know, and I hear pop music on the radio because my young kid plays pop all the time, and I'll hear little gems in there that I go, now that's a perfectly crafted pop song. You know, there's a lot of it is, you know, junk, but there are some amazing pop songs to me, you know, and I recognize that there are certain songs that are crafted in the pop world that are really good, and they do it for me. So, like I said, and everyone has their loves of different kinds of music, and that's what I like the best about it is, you know, fans are like, oh, I love this album of Metal Church, and no, I love this album, and that's what's great is everyone has a different perspective, and it's all good to me.
Awesome. And when it comes to your albums, I like them all. I'm not going to say I like, you know, one over the other. I love them all. And but some things that fans have also been wondering is, you know, since you've been away from the scene, were you aware of just how highly regarded you were and your albums are, you know, all those years since you've been gone from the band? You know, were you aware that even, you know, all these years people have been saying, get Mike in the band, you know, nothing against Ronnie or anybody else. Even when David came back, people just wanted you back because they appreciated you so much. And were you aware of that over the years?
Well, you know, I can't say, I'd be lying if I say I didn't see anything like that. Of course, over the years, because, you know, people post the Badlands videos, and I've seen the Badlands, all our videos over the years since the advent of, you know, YouTube and the internet, and, oh, look, I don't have to keep my old VHS copies of those videos anymore because they're going to forever be out there in the digital world. So, of course, I was aware of them and the kind things that people were saying, and it was very humbling, and I was very appreciative of all that. But until you come back, you know, it's hard. It's very surrealistic when people are saying things about you, you know, and you're like, oh, yeah, well, that's nice of them, but what does it really mean, you know? And then when you do come back and you get to talk to people and people are actually communicating with you and you're going out there and meeting them face to face, it really hits home and you just feel very humbled and grateful, and that's what I am.
Well, speaking of being humbled and feeling humbled and grateful, I've got a listener wanting to know about the Monsters of Rock cruise that you were on recently. Somebody says it seemed like you yourself enjoyed being around the fans and taking photos. Was it surreal at all to be on a cruise ship with a bunch of fans on the, you know, being back in the scene and all of a sudden you're thrust onto a freaking cruise? How was that for
you? That is a total apropos question because that's what I'm speaking to is one of my first, you know, tours back, you know, a couple opening shows in the Seattle and in Aberdeen area, which were great, but to get on a cruise ship, which was something I'd never even imagined. And when you think about it, like you said, getting, like the fan said, the caller in said, getting on a ship with all the fans in the same space and walking around, at first, the first thought I had was, whoa, that might be overwhelming to me, and I don't know if that's, you know, if I'd have to hide in my room or not, but it was the complete opposite, and I just wanted to get out and amongst them because they were shedding so much love on me. I mean, who wouldn't like that, right? So, I mean,
that's awesome.
I just had it was almost spiritual experience on the boat, you know? We got to play our music to the fans who were there, and they were so gracious and so respectful to us and to me as I was walking around. I was the one calling them out when I see them looking at me and wanting to meet me. I'm like, come over here. Let's talk. Let's take pictures. This is awesome. And it was just a great experience.
Killer. Before we talk a little bit about you personally, you know, away from music and all this and all the Metal Church thing, because I do want to talk about you yourself. Do you have any fond memories of the Operation Rock and Roll tour from '91? Remember that with Priest, Cooper, Motorhead, Dangerous Toys?
I have awesome memories of that tour. I mean, that tour was very special to me in many ways, but one specific way. And just a little side note, Dangerous Toys was on the cruise, the Monsters Rock cruise. So Jason and I got to reunite and say hi to each other for the first time since that tour.
Wow.
So that's a little side note to that. But going on that Operation Rock and Roll tour afforded me to meet and tour and play with the man that inspired me to be a singer, and that would be Rob Halford. So I was just honored and blown away that we could be on that tour. And I got to see Rob Halford every night, and Rob talked to me and said so many nice things to me about the Human Factor record. And, you know, I walked by one night and they were heading out to the stage, and Rob says, "Mike, I just got done getting pumped up to go on stage listening to your record. It's awesome." And I was like, did Rob just say that to me? You know, that was awesome, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we all have, we're all fans of metal and of people in our lives, and it's just a great thing to share with people, you know?
So, Mike, tell us about you, and I'm not talking about the singer from Metal Church, and I'm not talking about the singer at all, just you. You know, what about you, Mike? What are your passions, your hobbies? You know, what do you do in your private time away from anything related to music? What's your day like?
Yeah, well, I like to try to enjoy life, all the things that life have to offer, as much as possible, you know, and there's so many things out there, but I'm a big nature guy, you know. I live in a beautiful area that has redwood forests around, right by the ocean with beautiful bays. And, you know, I like to get out in it and hike and walk and camp. And I like to, I have a kayak. I like to get on the ocean in the bays and go kayaking and get amongst nature. And I like to, one of my favorite things is to go abalone diving down the coast of California, get on a suit and jump in there with no tanks and dive down and see, you know, what's down, what the ocean has to offer. So That's basically where my passion is outside of music.
Have you taken up any new hobbies? Anything you've tried new? Are you one of those guys that feels like, you know, why don't I just jump out of a plane tomorrow? I'll go skydiving. Are you that kind of adventurous guy?
Yeah, I would do that. Sure, my 18-year-old wanted to do that for his birthday last year when he turned 18, but things got in the way and we couldn't do it. But yes, I would definitely like to jump out of an airplane, and I'd like to try anything once, right?
That's the spirit. So you mentioned how approachable you were on the Monsters of Rock cruise. So when those of us who are going to see you at these shows you've got coming up this month in April, and even those in Europe over the summer, so you're saying you're approachable at shows? You don't like to like just run off and get back on the bus? You like to hang out with the fans?
Yeah, that's what it's about, is getting amongst the people and thanking them and just sharing the experience we just had, you know, because to me it's a very intense and personal experience playing music that you've created with people who appreciate it and just being in that moment together. Mm-hmm. So when I'm done doing that, I want to go out there and say, thank you very much for being together. Wasn't that awesome?
Killer, man. And I'm probably going to harass you somewhere around the merch table or something. And
please do. I mean, I mean, it's all positive to me. I'm ready to just take it.
All right. So I was going to ask you before we wrap up, I'm going to ask you about a few songs of yours. But you already covered one of them. We talked about Reset. I did want to mention that one. You talked about that one a bit. Tell me about Agent Green.
Oh, Agent Green. Now, Agent Green, that was a song that I was, that's close to being on the list, and now here I am telling, it didn't make it. It is such a great, fun live song to do, and it was right there at the cutoff of do we do these. So it might be one that's added in the future, but it didn't make the live set for this time. But I just had such great fun playing that song live with the band in the past. So I'm really going to work on trying to get that one reinserted at some point.
Oh, cool. Now, one of my absolute favorite songs from the band, and it might even be my absolute favorite Metal Church tune, it's a song that I feel that whenever I listen to it, I'm like, this should always end every Metal Church concert. It's like the ultimate set closer, encore song, and that's The Powers That Be. It's like, it's an uplifting song because of the riff. It's just so, it's one of those positive metal songs, you know. It's very enthralling, and it, to me, I listen to it, I'm like, this should close every show. Tell us about The Powers That Be.
Yeah, well, that's It is. I completely understand what you're saying. It is a powerful, uplifting song, and that riff is definitely it inspires positive thinking and positive vibes. And I can see your point totally. And maybe I'll have a conversation with Kurt and see what he thinks about
that. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, maybe you guys listen to those of us in the crowd screaming out these songs we want to hear, and you and Kurt have to have this conversation. Like, hey, the fans want to hear these songs and the powers that
there
be. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Mike, thank you so much for your time. I could talk to you for hours and hours, but I know we can't do that. But I really appreciate your time. And I think from one fan to you, thank you so much for coming back to the band. We've been wanting this for so long, and we are super psyched to get not just a new record, but a tour as well. This is going to be great. Thank you very much for your time. And any last words about the new record and the tour?
Well, I just thank you, Mark, and all the fans out there for having me and, you know, and supporting me and all the kind words that are being said about us out there. And I just look forward to seeing everyone on the road.
Awesome. Thanks, Mike. Take care, brother.
All right, Mark, you take care too.
Three tracks from Metal Church. That was brand new from the new record 11 coming out next week, Reset. You heard it from Mike Howe. They're going to be doing that one live, one of a few songs they're doing from the new record live in concert on this tour this year. Killer tune. I like that it's fast. I like Mike's vocals. And I love the fact that I got to interview Mike Howe after all these years. Mike is a nice guy. Pretty much what you'd expect. I mean, he just sounded like a decent, nice guy. And of course, I sounded like quite the fanboy on that interview because, you know, I am. I've been a huge fan since Blessing came out. I remember after school, instead of taking the bus home, walking to a record store in town and buying the Blessing in Disguise cassette. Been a fan ever since. And I didn't have the first two Metal Church records. I was aware of them because of those iconic guitar album covers, but I got Blessing in Disguise because I had to have it. And I've been a fan ever since. And the Mike Howe era is, I love them all. It's my favorite. Nice guy. I'm so glad I got to talk to him. It's one of my quote-unquote bucket list interviews. And I didn't think it was ever going to happen because Mike hadn't been in the band for a long time. And now he is. And my only regret is that I didn't make the interview about three or four times as long and just go into all this stuff. But unfortunately, I did not go into it with set times, like, you know, hey Mike, just so you know, we're gonna do like an hour and a half. So I could have gone on and on and on, but I certainly didn't want to dwell on the past either. And it's tough because the new album is not out yet. We don't even have it here at WSCA. We only have a few songs, so I couldn't go on and on about the new record too much without actually having known the songs and listening to it and going through it. I also did not want to dwell on the past. Sure, Mike is back in the band. Sure, he's been away for a while. Why we like the band is because of those old records. But I didn't want to do that. I think he's probably going to get a lot of that in the interviews that he's doing. He and Kurt both are doing interviews for this record. And I try to avoid doing so much of what others do in interviews, because I figure if you're listening to an interview that I'm doing on this show, you're probably going to listen to interviews with those same artists through other media outlets. So you're going to hear a lot of the same thing over and over and over again, and I try not to do that because you're going to get that elsewhere. So I didn't want to dwell on the past, but I wanted to acknowledge it, thus the Operation Rock and Roll question. I wanted to ask him about a few songs. I try to get more information about the people themselves and not just talk about the band, the music, and what they're obviously promoting. And Mike was open and honest. You know, he kept it brief, kept it to the point, and gave you a little bit about himself, you know, and I did think about delving further. But again, we could have been here all night. And if you know any of my interviews, sometimes I can go on and make the interview go a lot longer. And he wasn't given advance notice that it would be an in-depth interview, so I tried to make it as easy for him as possible. But I'm just so glad we got to talk. And I'm not going to get to talk to him as far as an interview goes on tour, because he's not giving interviews on tour because he wants to save his voice, obviously, for the show and then to talk to the fans. Totally understand that. And I should point out that I only had a few hours notice for this interview, because in fact I was planning on talking to him at the show. And I just found out last night that this interview was happening tonight. And I had nothing planned yet because this was going to happen next week at the show. And I wasn't ready yet. So I had to throw something together quickly in order for this to happen tonight. Because this was my one shot and I wasn't going to blow it. So thank you, Mike Howe, for calling in. And super psyched for that new record. And we'll have it soon. You've heard, I think, three songs on WSCA. No Tomorrow, Reset, and I'm drawing a blank on the other one. We're going to keep spinning the record for sure. You know, when we get the whole damn thing, which we are super psyched to get. We've been spinning Metal Church ever since WSCA has been on air. Even before any new records were coming out, we've been spinning the old stuff. We'll keep spinning the old stuff, the forgotten ones, the in-between, the new stuff, and everything that you want to hear related to Metal Church. We're going to keep spinning it. And your request, too, anything related to Metal Church tonight, you've heard already. We'll be spinning Metal Church later on. And subsequent broadcasts for the Rock and Metal Sanctuary and Black Knight Meditations.